If you'd like to follow along and read along with me today, the reading lesson, I'll ask you to turn to the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 2. I want to read some scripture there, beginning with the first verse. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Please remember me in your prayers today. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Well, I mean, surely I believe we can understand why that would put a question in the minds of these people that were witnessing this. What does this mean? And there were others mocking that said, These men are full of new wine. And it seems like that with spiritual matters, these two types of people still exist today. There are those that are inquisitive and want to know what it means. There are others that will just mock it. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So the apostle Peter is saying here, we are seeing some prophecy fulfilled in this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm going to stop reading there with verse 21. I want to speak today about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. The outpouring of the Spirit of God. And as I made mention of in this a moment ago, when this began to happen and these things were questioned, as I said, there were some that were in amazement, and they wanted to know what this meant. You know, how could this be happening? What is this all about? How can it be that these men that are speaking, they're all from the same place and they're of one dialect, but yet we are from various places and we're hearing the gospel through them in our own language. How can this be possible? And there were some that the mockers, they attributed this to alcohol. I mean, they attributed it to these people being drunk. And the Apostle Peter, beginning with verse 14, the Apostle Peter, as he was prone to do, he stood up and he let his voice be heard. And he said, These men are not drunk. They're not drunk as you suppose. For one thing, he said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But he said, the prophecy that Joel had made, and this prophecy had preceded this day of Pentecost by somewhere around 800 years, probably 800 plus years. But you can go back to the second chapter of the little book of Joel in the Old Testament, which I believe only has three chapters. But you can go back there to the second chapter of Joel and you can read the words of this prophecy where it was prophesied by the prophet Joel that this was going to come. That in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and these things that were be produced by the outpouring of the Spirit of God would begin to happen. And that's what was taking place here. Now, I believe that, and you know, I realize that not everybody in the world agrees with what I believe. I've known that for years, but I'm going to tell you again today what I believe was happening here. I believe that what happened, I'm convinced that what happened on the day of Pentecost was that Jesus fulfilled a great promise to His church that they were going to receive great power. And this power was not going to be any power of nature or anything like that. They were going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost upon them. If you go back to the Gospel according to John and you read through the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John and really verse or chapter 14 and chapter 15 and chapter 16, all mention about the Holy Spirit and the coming of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the church. Jesus promised this to His church while He was still on earth with His church. He promised them that as He began to tell them that He was going to be leaving, He made them a promise that He would not leave them alone. That He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send another. And He spoke to them, and I won't go through all of that, but you can read in those three chapters there, 14 through 16 of the Gospel of John, and you can read about things that benefits that they would receive by the Holy Spirit coming up on them in that way. And so I've said this before, it's my belief, and I'm convinced of this, that the church did not start on the day of Pentecost, But she was empowered on that day. She did receive that promise that Jesus had made to them. And this is what he said. And we find this recorded in, I believe it's the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. When, you know, Jesus, after his resurrection, he commissioned his church. And this is what she was to do. This is the way it's recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, as members of Fairview Memorial today, if you have any question at all in your mind about what we are to be doing as a church, then I will direct your attention to the last chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew and just tell you to read that account there of the Great Commission. And you'll see in that why that Jesus left us here and what we are supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be taking the gospel to every creature. And we are to be making disciples. And when people are saved, then we are to, as the church, we are to be administering the ordinance of baptism. And then we are to be teaching people to observe all the things that the Lord has commanded. So there's really no reason for us to be ignorant at all about what we are supposed to be doing, because it's told to us in the scriptures very plainly. But in the going back to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, in giving his church that commission, he told them to wait until, to wait in Jerusalem until what happened here took place. He said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, I don't believe it's any great mystery, and it's not hard to understand that what happened here at Pentecost was exactly what Jesus promised to them, and it was what he was, what he had told them to wait for, even though he had given them the commission to go out into all the world and to undertake this worldwide commission. He told them, "No, don't start on your mission. You wait a certain time. You just tarry behind in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, when this day of Pentecost came, and when what happened here took place, I'm not sure really that they fully understood it yet. Because if you go just a little bit further, if by the time you get into about the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we find there that the church really not, they really had not gone out yet and begin to do what the Lord told them to do. As far as I can tell, what he had said to them, you know, when you receive this great power from on high, then the promise is fulfilled and it's time for you to go. It's time for you to start going out and being missionary and taking the gospel to all the world, but they were not yet doing that. And really, until there arose a great persecution against the church at Jerusalem and scattered them, that's when they really begin to take up the work that Jesus had given to them in the Great Commission. But he empowered them, and he poured his Spirit out upon the church. And I'm going to tell you today that I believe, I'm convinced today, that the Lord's church still has the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit of God among her. This was not just a promise that was made to that one particular body in Jerusalem. It was made to all of the Lord's true churches, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be upon us. And this is something, having had the privilege, and it seems like that every time I study this, I never fail to get a great blessing from it, because from the days of my childhood, having had the privilege of being raised and always being around what I believe was a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been familiar in my life with the third person of the Godhead known as the Holy Spirit. He has interacted with me many times in my life. Has he not with you? Are you not well acquainted today with the Holy Spirit of God and with the power that he has? There are things that there are great benefits that we have come to know. And there are great things that we experience because of the Lord's fulfilling of his promise to send his power upon his church. And I've said this before, and I'll repeat myself because you probably don't remember when I said it before. But I've said this before, that I've heard people, I've known of people that have dropped out of church, and they told me that they didn't feel like there was much need to go anymore because they just didn't think that the church had any power anymore anyway. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe they were just listening to the devil and using that as an excuse. I'm telling you that the power of the Holy Spirit of God is with his church today. And oftentimes the reason perhaps that we don't feel it and experience it the way that we could is because we quench it and we suppress it and we don't mind the Lord. And oftentimes that's the reason that we don't get the blessings. Amen. And feel the power. But we've got access to it, I guarantee you, that the power of the Lord is still with us. And there are great benefits that come to us as a church because of that. And I'm going to just mention a few of these things to you and just give you a bit of a summary here. But I believe that it's through the work of the Holy Spirit of God and his power that we are made aware, not only individually, not only in our individual lives, but as a church body as well. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are made aware of a divine presence among us. That we are made aware that God is with us. And I know that we all here today, we can testify to that even from time to time in coming together. Now these people here on the day of Pentecost, they were assembled, to be honest with you, they were assembled in a way that a church ought to always be assembled. They were together with one mind and one accord. I mean, they were focused on the things of the Lord, and they experienced this great outpouring of the Spirit of God upon them that made things begin to happen. And folks, listen, we know from our own experience, we have experienced that as well, have we not? At times been together, been assembled together, and the Lord would just pour out his power upon us. He would just make his presence known to us through the Holy Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, when that happens, when that comes upon us, is there any question as to what's happening? I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for the knowledge that God has given to me of the work of the Holy Spirit, because when one of you begins to act up, when somebody gets happy, and begins to, you know, testify or sing or shout the praises of God or however that it makes you to react, I don't have any question about what's going on. I don't have to look at you and say, well, that person must be drunk. They must be full of new wine. I don't have to question. I know what's happening. I know it's the Holy Spirit of God influencing that person and making that person rejoice in their heart. And I'll tell you what, listen, the only problem that I have with it is too often we don't see enough of it. We don't just let go oftentimes like we should and just let the Holy Spirit have His way with us. I've heard people say, maybe you have. I've heard people admit that they were having a friend or maybe a relative or something come to church with them for the first time. And they were kind of hoping maybe Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so wouldn't get happy and start shouting. You know, maybe it might scare, you know, this was the first time that their friend was going to be with them at church and they were afraid it might scare them or something or, you know, cause them not to. I'll tell you what, I say we never suppress the Holy Spirit of God. God knows what He's doing. I'll tell you what, if we bring somebody here, if somebody comes to our service for the first time, don't you think that God knows that they're among us here for the first time? Don't you think that God knows what He's doing? Why, sure He does. Listen, if God moves up on the heart of somebody and causes them to rejoice to the point where they begin to shout the praises of God or testify about the goodness of God in their life, I say, let it fly. Let the Lord have His way. God will take it and use it the way that He wants to. We're not in charge of that. God is in charge of that. God knows how to manifest His presence. We are led. We are led by the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you what, if you say you've got an experience of salvation and you don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, you got a problem. You got a big problem. Because this is what the Bible says about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And listen, that's a great benefit to us in our lives. And let me say this again. Let me say this to everybody. Let me say this to the young Christians here today. Utilize the Spirit of God in your life when you're having to make decisions, especially big decisions in your life. You go to God and you pray and you seek God's will and seek His face and seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, because God won't lead you in the wrong direction. Too many times we end up in trouble in our Christian walk because we did not consult the Spirit of God. We didn't consider what He wanted us to do. He will lead us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can you testify to the Spirit of God leading you in this life and pointing you in the right direction and taking you in the way that you needed to go? Thank God for His leadership that He gives to us, to His people, through the Holy Spirit, because I would hate to think where we would end up without it. I would hate to think what we would do without the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. It's through the Holy Spirit, preachers, when we stand up to preach, like I'm trying to do this morning, it's through the work of the Holy Spirit that God's Word is empowered. Boy, the Apostle Paul knew that well. He wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, He wrote to the Corinthians after he had been there and preached among them. He wrote an epistle to them. And in that second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he spoke to them about how that he had preached when he was among them. And Paul was a very educated man, a lot more educated than I am. He was an extremely intellectual man. But when he wrote to them, he said, when I was among you, I preached among you with fear and with trembling. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I'm going to tell you today that that's the desire of every true preacher, to those to whom he preaches, that their faith would stand not in him or not in any thing of man's wisdom, but in the power of God. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, when we came to you, when we were among you, he said, our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in the Holy Ghost, and in power, and in much assurance. I'll tell you what, if they call it preaching, and it don't affect the hearts of people in any way, you better question that. Because I'll tell you, I still believe today, in the year 2012, I still believe today that the Holy Spirit of God empowers His Word and bears witness to the truth. People can say all they want to say about it, but I'm convinced today that when God's Word is preached in truth, that the Holy Spirit of God will do His work and He will convict the hearts of those that are lost and undone. I believe there's people right here today that know they need to be saved. And it's up to you, friend, what you're going to do with that, because God does not force anybody. God will not make you come to Him. But don't even try to convince me that God doesn't deal with people. I know He does. Amen. Jesus said one of the things that the Spirit would do when He comes. Well, I'll just read it to you so I don't mess it up at all. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus is talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, He says, when He has come, He will reprove. And that's the same thing as convict. Those are synonymous terms, reprove, convict, same thing. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit will do His work. You can rest assured that He will bear witness to the truth of His word. He will convict people of their sins. And that's got a great deal to do with why God's word does not return to Him void. We're made to rejoice through the work of the Holy Spirit. We receive comfort. Boy, you ever had something in your life just really, really hard to take? Here comes God. Here comes the Holy Spirit. Boy, He just moves right up next to you, puts His arms around you. You know that He's there. I mean, He just comforts you like nobody else. Remember, He is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And in 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, I believe about verse 3, Paul speaks about God being the God of all comfort. All comfort. The Holy Spirit of God works in our lives. He works in our lives, and I'm going to tell you what, when He does, we better listen to Him. when he is bidding us to do something, we better be obedient to it. Saved and lost alike. When the Holy Spirit of God moves upon us, and that's what we ought to do. We ought to listen to him when he moves upon our hearts. And I would hate to think about what it would be like to try to stand before you from week to week, from time to time, and try to bring God's word before you if it were not for the Holy Spirit taking that and using it and planting it deep in people's hearts, because I have no power to convict a heart. I have no power to cause a person to know that they're lost, but God can take his word and he can do that. You know, the word of God is the sword of what? Not man, is it? It's the sword of the Spirit. And God takes it and he lacerates the heart of people. The power of his word, his empowered word. And I'll tell you what, if he has ever knocked on your heart, God has ever come to you and let you know that you're lost and undone, you better be seeking him until you know that you've been saved. And I've told you before, I've shared this with you before, that it was the Holy Spirit of God dealing with my heart that made me know that I was lost. It wasn't any preacher that did it. I thank God for those that stood before me and preached the gospel, but they didn't deal with my heart. I sat out in the church pew many times when I was lost, and boy, I mean, somebody be up there and they'd just be preaching hellfire and damnation, and I mean, just letting it roll. But there was an invisible presence that was dealing with my heart. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit taking that word, putting it down in my heart. And if he has made you to know that you're lost, then you need to come to him. Because it was also the Holy Spirit of God that let me know that I had been saved. He let me know when I was lost, when I was able by his help to repent of my sins and place my trust in him. The Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit and gave me witness that I had been saved. That's how I know. That's how I know. And that's how you need to know. I thank God for his power. I thank him for his Holy Spirit. Thank him for his divine presence in my life. For his leadership. For the way that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, promised his church. He said, when he comes, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will guide you. And how will he guide you? He will guide you into all truth. Church, if we ever go the wrong way and do the wrong thing, let's not say God took us there, because he won't do it. He won't take us in the wrong direction. He will guide us into the truth and lead us in the right direction every single time. If you're here and you're lost, I want to encourage you. Come to the Lord today. If you're here today and you're saved and the Holy Spirit is moving up on you to do something, do it. Amen. Do it. He will accomplish something by it, I promise you. He will accomplish something by it if we'll obey. So let's have a song. And I thank the Lord for the fulfillment of his promise. Of power, the power that would come upon his church. So let's stand and sing, and if you're lost and undone before God, I encourage you to come seeking him and encourage you to place your trust in the Lord, because he can save you and he wants to save you, while we stand and sing.
Number 194.